Greetings, everyone, and praise be Jesus Christ. For the past 3 weeks, we have been reading from Matthew 22. And Jesus has been on the receiving end of entrapping questions. Over and over again, the religious leaders, the political leaders, the Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, have been looking for a way to trap Jesus. He's responded to each one of their traps. But today, we enter the next chapter. And while we're still in Jerusalem, Matthew 23 is very different than Matthew 22. Now the tables are turned. Jesus is no longer on the receiving end of entrapping questions. Jesus is delivering. He's delivering teaching and a message that's very important. He's speaking to the crowds and to his disciples. And he's speaking in a very direct way. Here in Matthew 23, he's leading and guiding. He's warning and teaching his flock. Because so close to his death, he knows that the wolves are out. And they need teaching and formation. They need his leadership. Matthew 23, in many ways, reminds me of Psalm 23. Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And certainly here, Jesus is manifesting his goodness in a particular way. Suffice it to say that Jesus is very angry in Matthew 23. In fact, in my Bible, the words of Jesus are written in red. And Matthew 23 is full of red. Only 11 words are written in black. Jesus is red with anger, not in rage, because he's God, but angry nonetheless. And God's anger is different than ours. His anger limits evil. His anger purifies and delivers. His anger heals. And what's he angry about? Well, we hear it right from the beginning. He's angry at the leaders. He's angry at the authorities. Because they've been talking the talk, but not walking the walk. And so what does he do? Well, he calls them out. And what he calls them is interesting. He says, "Woe." It's not exactly a curse word, but it certainly wakes you up when Jesus says, "Woe." He says, "Woe, you hypocrites. Woe, you blind guides. Woe, you whitewashed tombs." You see, Jesus is angry. And after he says, "Woe," he tells his disciples something important. He says, "Do what they say, but do not follow their example." You see, Jesus is not usurping authority. He's not undermining authority. He says, "Do what you say, even when that authority is corrupt. Even when that authority is wrong, do what they say, but do not follow their example." You see, there's something bigger here to be followed. And Jesus reveals what that bigness is. He reminds the crowd and his disciples, there is one Father in heaven. There is one Master, the Christ. You see, my friends, he is teaching and sharing with his disciples something so important. He's calling out by name. He's speaking the command to follow. And he's pointing to God the Father. And in so doing, in these three actions, Jesus is delivering his disciples from harm. He's empowering them with the good. And it's so beautiful. Beautiful because the woe in the beginning can turn into the wow. That yes, God calls by name. Yes, he invites us to follow him. That yes, through following him, we have access to the Father, to the one who made heaven and earth, to the one that holds the world in his hand. That through Christ, we can have communion with God. And that's wow. How this chapter ends is just so beautiful. And I would encourage you to read the whole chapter for yourself. But it ends, after Jesus speaks so forcefully, it ends with his tender love. He weeps over Jerusalem. And he wishes that he could so gather them as a mother hen gathers her young brood under her wings. Such is the love of God. A love that calls us out, that says, woe to you. You know, have you ever been called a hypocrite by God? I have. You see, and when God calls us out, it's not in a put-down way. The devil puts down. But God convicts. And if ever you've been convicted by God, you've known it. Each time that I go to confession, I know what I've done wrong. I take a moment to examine my conscience, and I know my guilt before God, and I confess it. So as to follow him more fully, so as to be one in greater communion, in holy communion with the Father. This is beautiful. In some ways, this is an exorcism that God is working for his disciples so as to free them from all harm, to move them from the woe to the wow. In praying with this chapter this week, I was reminded of the sirens in Greek mythology. Perhaps you remember them. In Homer's Odyssey, the sirens were the half-bird, half-woman-like creatures who sang beautifully and over the seas, over the islands, and sailors could not resist the sound of the siren's voice. And yet that beautiful sound, that beautiful music, got the sailors off course. And it landed them in deep trouble. It landed them in catastrophe. And so the story is told in the Odyssey that it's Odysseus. He's the captain of his ship. And he fills his crew's ears with wax so that they don't hear the sirens. And he tells them to tie him to the mast of the ship because someone needs to hear, someone needs to see, someone needs to lead and to guide. And he's the one, he's the leader. And he tells them, he says, when I hear and I'm so taken by the sound of the sirens, pull even tighter. Pull me even tighter to the mast so I don't mislead, so that I can continue to guide in the right course, in the right direction, so that I can continue to be a good leader, a good captain of the ship. My friends, does that sound familiar? Who was tied to the mast but Christ? He sees and he hears. He is not blind or deaf, and he's certainly not dumb. And seeing and hearing everything, he, with his great love, leads and guides to the truth. And in a world that can be so easily fooled, tempted, and misdirected by all sorts of sirens, by all sorts of sounds, Jesus remains the shepherd, the leader, hearing, seeing all that is true. All things so as to lead us to the one thing, so as to lead all to the Father. My friends, in the midst of so much noise and sirens of our own day, some quite literal sirens blaring over Israel, allow Matthew 23 to convict and call out, to lead and to guide, to exorcise from you all that is not God, and to save you and unite you to all that is God. You see, my friends, Jesus is very close to his death. And he, in Matthew 23, is leading and forming, is teaching the crowds and his disciples the way to life. He calls out. He tells us to follow. And in that following, we find communion with God. This week, pray on Matthew 23. We need it. And in so doing, you will find the way to life. God be with you.